bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 366, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Not haughty is my heart, not lofty is my pride. I do not seek to know the things God's wisdom hath denied. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 366. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 131. Psalm 131. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 131, a song of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself, as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, give us a right spirit of prayer and supplication in this morning, when we are gathered in thy house, and when we are to call upon thy name, to acknowledge thee for everything, and to beseech thee for all that we stand in need of. And Lord, who can do this aright? When we are living in this carnal world, when we live therein with a carnal heart, and we are called together on thy holy day, to consider those things which are for the need of our soul. Lord, then who is sufficient for these things? To bring thy word or to hear thy word? Then there are none of us that are capable. And we stand in need of thee for everything. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast spared our life, that thou hast given a measure of health and strength even to this very moment, and that thou cuttest us not yet off. Remember those that mourn. Also heard that is far away in these days, and hopes to return again in this week. Lord, wilt thou guide and protect her? And wilt thou supply for all those that miss their loved ones? Lord, our turn that is also coming. And when we, each one of us, will depart out of this world, and we will stand before thee, who art our maker, to give an account of how that we have been made. And we will stand before thee, our judge, to give an account of thy holy law, and to give an account of that which we have been given privilege with above so many in this world, that is thy holy word, wherein thou proclaimest that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, many never hear it, and do not know that way of forgiveness. We know it with our minds. We have by nature no need, no desire for it, and therefore it is not revealed unto our hearts. Oh, that there may be those in our midst, Lord, whose need that has been opened up in their life, and that go over this world with a need burning upon their soul. With a less we cannot do. We need to be awakened, O Lord, to our death state in Adam. We need to be awakened to our awful state and condition before thee, before that we have to die and appear before thee in that great judgment day. Lord, that that may not be the first time that we receive an impression, but that a lasting, that a saving impression may be wrought upon our soul in this life, while there is still an opportunity to turn unto thee and to receive everything that is necessary out of thy hand. Lord, wilt thou so look upon us with our dear children, because we cannot do without thee, dead in sins and in trespasses also, when we have come to gather in thy house in this morning hour. Lord, we need thee. We need thy Spirit to awaken us. We need thy Spirit to quicken us from the dead, to give us that new life. Lord, to whom else then can we go? And thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou art able to speak the word only, and we shall be saved. Oh, we beseech thee then that thou would do it, Lord,
that thou would take reasons from out of thyself to bestow upon us an undeserved blessing, we and our dear children. When thy word will come unto us in this morning hour, oh, that it might be as a sharp two-edged sword into our never-dying souls. Wilt thou look upon all thy church? Thou knowest all their condition in this world. Lord, when there are the little lambs, oh, could it be that there are such, those that do cry from their inner chambers, those who are unknown to us, that there is spiritual life. Oh, may it be even in its very beginnings, a life that begins to long, to desire, to seek the true and the living God, a life that begins to weep because we have sinned against thee, a life that begins to miss thee, a life that makes by grace a blessed choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. O Lord, if there may be such in this morning hour, here in thy house of prayer, that thou would fulfill that desire of their soul which thou hast planted within them, and that thou would give them a little token of thy nearness, of thy presence, that the meek may eat and be satisfied. But wilt thou also lead them further, and may there be such that are led further to have opened unto them the great fountain of guilt that lies within, so that it becomes an impossibility to fulfill thy holy law and all thy righteous demands. Lord, that that wave of man may be so cut off as to bring man to an utter and a complete end in himself, and so that a way may be made open to receive instruction concerning a new and living way, the way that thou hast made in and through thine only begotten Son. Lord, only in such a way will he become a precious, necessary, suitable to the chiefest of the sinners. Only in such a way will he receive all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we beseech thee then to instruct each and every one of us in that way, and to lead us in those steps that we cannot miss. Wilt thou so bless us as a congregation? Thou givest rain upon the earth. Thou givest sunshine upon the earth. Thou blessest us with springs of water. Thou hast given us multitudes of blessings for all our life here below, so that we lack nothing, but that we live in great abundance, overflowing, our cup that runneth over. Lord, oh, that thou may also give us the upper springs and the nether springs. Oh, that thou may also give us the quickening of our life, that new life, that thou may also give us spiritual blessings, that we may receive spiritual riches, and that which will not be left behind when we die, but that which moth and rust doth not corrupt, that which we will take with us, even in our death, over that last Jordan, and that will bring us into that blessed and everlasting communion, wherein we may glorify thy name forever. Lord, Oh, bless us undeservedly. With these blessings we ask of Thee. Wilt Thou look upon us all in the needs of this life? Oh, supply for all of the little children and that have needs in their bodies, that have received surgeries in this past week and continually. Lord, may Thou remember each and every one of them. And wilt Thou supply in all the needs of all that have difficulties in this life, for the body, for the mind. Look upon widows, widowers, and orphans. Be with all parents. Remember children and youth in the difficult and tempting times in which we are living. Wilt Thou keep Satan away? Wilt Thou give them to stand for that truth that they have been taught in the days of their youth? Lord, keep a fence and wall about each one of us. Wilt Thou look upon us in this morning hour? Oh, help us in the preaching of Thy holy word, that we may be given freedom, Lord, and liberty that must come from Thee. That it may not be but the words of men, the thoughts of men, but that there may be those who must be fed in the midst of us. Oh, that Thy Spirit may dwell among us, that He may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, that Thy true children may receive nourishment and strength upon the Meshech of this world, upon their journey here below, and that Thou would remember us out of free and sovereign grace. We ask it in the name and for the sake of Thine only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 100, all stanzas, forever, trusting in the Lord. Take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land. So shalt thou dwell within the land, and He thy needs shall fill. Psalter number 100, stanzas 1 through 4.
Congregation, what a great difference there was between Saul and his son Jonathan. We may read that both of them knew, both of them confessed that they knew, and that David would be the king of Israel. But one may bow under this, and the one may not. And thus, what a great difference between these two men. That man that is not able to agree with the will of God is a man that has no rest in his life. But blessed is that man that is given to bow, and that is given a true submission, blessed submission, to the way of the Lord in all things. This, our Heidelberg Catechism instructors teach us, in which we wish to consider together with you in this morning out of Lord's Day 49, question 124. Question 124. Which is the third petition? Answer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So far, our Lord's Day. Prayer for the fulfillment of the will of God. First, renouncing our own will. And second, submitting to the Lord's will. Prayer for the fulfillment of the will of God. First, renouncing our own will. And second, submitting to the Lord's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why should the Lord Jesus Christ teach, instruct his disciples to pray such a prayer? Is not the will of the Lord always done on this earth? What man does say unto God, What doest thou? Is that will of God not unchangeable? Is the Lord not of one mind, so that no one in this whole world can change him? Is there any man, and that is the Lord's counselor? It is this petition, and that is not asking that the Lord would perform his will, just as if there is any question whether that will actually would be performed here in this world. But this petition is asking for something else. What is that? That is, actually give me, in my own heart, a submission to thy will, that I may be given to acquiesce. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That I be not as Saul, but that may my heart may do as Jonathan may do. Thus, this petition was not always necessary to pray. When was that not necessary? Was not necessary in paradise. It was not necessary when the Lord had first created man. And why not? Because that was a time wherein the Lord had spoken about his creation, saying, "Behold, it is very good. And everything also, the will of man that was so united, that was so one with that holy and that righteous will of God." But this petition that has been made necessary by our fall. Because in our fall, man has rebelled against that revealed will that the Lord had shown unto him. So that his will is no longer one. His will is no longer in agreement with the will of God. But that now it is antagonistic. He is fighting against the will of God. Therefore, our fathers speak about renouncing. That is, as a servant may seek to do the will of his master. Thus our fathers speak about man renouncing his own will. Thus in the fall, man did not lose his will altogether. It is not as if man, after the fall, no longer has a will, that he has become like the animals who do not have, as the humans have, a will, but they only are governed by their animal instincts. No, man did not lose his will. If man had lost his will, man would have become like a stock, like a block here upon this world. But it is the will of man which is propelling us to do anything that we may choose to do or not do here in this world. Had man lost his will altogether, regeneration, that would have been just as easy a work as the creation was. But regeneration, that is not the same as the creation. Why? Because when the Lord created man, when he created the world, then there was no resistance. There was nothing to overcome. There was nothing that was fighting against this creating hand of the Lord. That is not so in regeneration. No, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about an overcoming. The Lord Jesus says, when the Spirit will quicken a man, when the Spirit will enter in the heart of a man, then there is a strong man who is armed that he has to overcome, that he has to bind, that he has to cast out. That is Satan. And the will of man by nature, that has become so one with the will of his Father by nature, who the Lord Jesus says is
Satan, the devil. And thus man, he is resisting with all his might, not only dead in sins and in trespasses, but also fighting against that will of God also in regeneration. Thus, the will, the desire of man, that is not neutral, but that is evil. That will that is carnal, that will that is vain. Does it mean that man in this world, you and I in this world, as we are unregenerated, are not able to do outwardly in this world any good deeds? No, it does not mean that. Acts in themselves may be in themselves very good. We can help poor people. We can feed those that are hungry and so on. But these acts do not say anything about the condition and the state of our soul. When we speak about the corruption of the of mankind, then we speak in the first place about something which is spiritual. Thus, man is not dead naturally, but man, he is dead spiritually. And thus, he is dead to all spiritual good. All good which is truly and rightly to the honor and to the glory of God, that we are by nature completely dead to. Not only so, but there is more, because it is really only the restraining hand of God that allows the natural fallen man to do natural good deeds in this world. While man continues to hate his neighbor and hate God, when man continues to be inclined to all evil in a self-centered manner, still the Lord is restraining mankind so that this does not all break out of our hearts. And so that good deeds, they are still being done in this world. Sometimes even warring factions in this world, when there is some natural great calamity coming upon their enemy, sometimes then we see that there is even for a moment a truce, as so that these warring factions are actually helping and coming to the aid of one another. But this does not make it good in the sight of God. This does not make it spiritually good, because there is so much that corrupts. There is so much that is not visible to the natural eye of men. And we can read that so often in the Word of God. We read of the children of Israel that they came with their sacrifices before the Lord. Was that not a good thing? And yet the Lord said to them, "Who has required this at your hand to tread my courts?" It was not good in the sight of the Lord. We read of the children of Israel that they had their new moons and their Sabbaths, but the Lord had to complain about these outward good deeds, these outward good acts. He says, "I cannot away with it. It is an abomination unto me." Outwardly good things. Ananias, what did he do, boys and girls?
say, that was good, because he brought money that may be used for the apostles, that may be used for the poor people. And when he brought that money there before the apostles, the Lord slew him. You say, a good deed? No. It was not good in the eyes of the Lord, though it was good in their own eyes, and though it was good in the eyes of every man that they came before. Simon wants the power that he may lay on hands and that he may give that gift of the Holy Ghost. He thinks this will be a good thing. But the Lord says that his heart was not right before him. His heart. Man has corrupted himself. How badly? What does the Lord say? They are all as an unclean thing. And all their righteousnesses, what is good in their eyes, their good acts, their good deeds, they are all as filthy rags. We don't want to believe so. We want to think better of ourselves than the Lord says of us in His holy word. We want to think that there is still some good that is left in us. But when we say that there is even the smallest amount of good that is left in us, then we deny the depth of our fall. Then we deny how deeply that we have fallen before the Lord. It is easier, congregation, to forsake our sins than it is for us to forsake, to let go of our righteousnesses. That we will not do. The will of man is corrupt. And therefore, that will of man that has to be renounced, that has to be completely rejected, because that will of man that is only sinful rebellion, objection to the will of the Lord. It is so before conversion, outwardly, boldly provoking the Lord. Who is the Lord? That I should obey His voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go. Or maybe not so outwardly provokingly that we are restrained, nevertheless, by those who are not yet converted, and also by those who are converted. So Solomon tried to slay Jeroboam when he knew that the Lord had determined that Jeroboam would become king. If that will of man after conversion was not still corrupt, then why would the Lord Jesus need to teach His disciples to pray, "Thy will be done"? That is, that we may submit to Thy will and renounce our own will. You say, does not the Lord, when he converts a man, give him a new will? Does he not have a willing people in the day of his power? Certainly he does. What was the first thing, boys and girls? The Lord came to Saul of Tarsus when he was on that journey to Damascus. What was the first thing? And that Saul of Tarsus replied unto the Lord. He said, Lord, what wilt thou that I should do? Was that new will ever placed in your heart? Then we have a new will, indeed. But do you know what is not yet gone? That old will. Thus now there are two wills. Two wills. And those wills do not agree with one another. There is a will of a new man, and there is still that will of that old man. Therefore, Jonah, he is not able to bow under that will of God that he should preach unto the enemies of the children of Israel. Therefore, Jacob, he cannot bow, but he has to complain, all these things, they are against me. Therefore, Peter cannot bow when the Lord Jesus says that I am going to suffer at the hands of the Pharisees and scribes. They are going to put me to death. And then Peter says, no. This shall not be unto thee. What a wonder that the Lord carries out his will and that he does not carry out the corrupt will of his children. The Lord Jesus also had two wills. How is that? Did he have also a new man and an old man? No. The Lord Jesus had no old man. The Lord Jesus had two wills because he had a divine will and he had a human will, thus fully human. And that human will that he has subjected at all times to that blessed divine will of his Holy Father. Oh, there is no better place that we may come in our life than to be able to renounce our own will and as our fathers say, without murmuring, to obey thy will, which is only good. That is our second thought. To obey thy will. But what is that? What is the will of God? How often do we not ask this question? But why do we ask such a question? What is the will of God? It's again because of our fall. Because when we were created, we knew God. And we knew the will of God. But in our fall, we have lost that knowledge. We lost that knowledge of God, of his works. And no longer does man know that will of God. And therefore, that will of God, that needs to be revealed unto man. Does the Lord do so? To show unto man, to reveal unto mankind his will? Yes and no. What does that mean? There is a secret will of God that the Lord does not reveal unto men. Thus there is the will of God that certainly will be brought to pass. It is the will of His decree. There is part of this that the Lord is pleased to hide from you and I. It is hidden. Then there is another part of His will that it pleases the Lord to show unto us. So, boys and girls, just like your mother and your father, they do not tell you everything. No, they tell you what pertains to you. And they give you commands, and they may give you a promise, but they reveal to you only that which they see fit. And so does the Lord unto mankind, also unto His own children. And there are many things that the Lord reveals. How does He reveal them? He reveals them to us through His Word. Thus, this is the revealed will of God, or what we call the will of His command. Thus, then we say, what is the will of God? We have not to ask that question because we have the answer to it. The will of God that is written in His Word. Do we have a desire to know what His will is? Then we may read His Word. Do we study that Word so that we may know what His will is? It is this part of His will, not that will of His decree, not that part of His will which is secret that He sovereignly withholds from you and I, but the part that He reveals to us, that part we are accountable for. Moses says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But that which is revealed unto us and unto our children forever. Why? That we may do according to this law. That is the purpose. That the Lord has given us His Word. That the Lord has revealed His will unto us. That we may be obedient to His will. And not that we may search into those things that He has hidden from us. As children, when you ask questions to your father and to your mother and they say, no, that I do not tell you. But you go now and do as I said. The revealed will of God. Although we make a distinction between these two, the hidden, the secret, and the revealed will of God, still there are not two wills in the Godhead. But these two are actually one will, although it seems sometimes as if they are not. The will of God's command that is always serving the will of God's decree, that is never contrary to it. The Lord is using His revealed will to bring about in this world His secret counsel, the things that He has determined should come to pass in this world. Sometimes, those things which He has commanded, He has never decreed should come to pass. The Lord has never decreed that Isaac should be slain by his father. And yet the Lord commanded Abraham to do this. That does not mean that it was his secret will that it should be done. And yet the command came clearly unto the patriarch. Can we understand this? We see in hindsight his purpose. That is for Abram a trial. But with what did Abram have to do? That was not to ask the Lord, what is now thy secret will? No. That was simply to obey that word that the Lord had commanded him, his revealed will. And this is that will that the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray and to ask the Lord if the Lord will give to them a submission to his revealed will. That the Lord will give them that grace of obedience. So it is in a special way concerning the salvation of our own soul. We know because it is revealed to us that the Lord has a decree. That decree is called predestination. We know from the Word of God that the Lord has elected his church and he has rejected others. That is revealed, the fact of this decree, that it has been decreed. But it is not revealed to us who that they are. Which ones among us are the elect and which ones among us are the reprobate? This is not revealed to us in the Word of God. This is hidden. That is clear. The Lord Jesus says to his servants that there are going to be in that church wheat and tares. The disciples, they are asking, shall we, his servants, they are asking, shall we go take out those tares, the weeds? The Lord Jesus says, no. Because you don't know which one is which. And it could be then you will try to pluck out a tear when you are plucking out one of those wheat. Thus, it is not known to us as a congregation, as an individual. It is not known to us as servants of the Lord. Does the Lord ever reveal this? Sometimes. So we read of Abijah, the son of Jeroboam. But mostly not. Mostly that work of grace that must reveal itself by the fruits. By what is showing in the life of that true church. And then it is not our place also concerning our own personal salvation to begin with that secret will of God. To say, I do not know whether I am an elect vessel or whether I am reprobate. And if that I am reprobate, then there is nothing that I can do that will change that secret will of God
Therefore, why should I come to the church? Therefore, why should I pray? Therefore, why should I read the Holy Scriptures? And if I am one of the elect, then that Holy Spirit of the Lord is irresistible. And though I am at the movies, or though I am at all the wicked places in this world, from there the Lord is going to pluck me and He will bring me in. That is an abuse of the secret will of God. That has nothing to do with us. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, you must obey my voice. And not ask and not pry into my secret will. But I command you to turn everyone from his evil way. I command you to seek me and to live. Thus we have not to do with that secret will, but with that revealed will, and that will of the command of the Lord. Say, why is it then that the Lord has even revealed the fact of His decree? Why is it then that the Lord has even said to man that He has decreed, that He has an elect church? Why even say this? Why? Because that is one of the greatest comforts for the true church of God. This is becoming one of the greatest consolations of that people who can find no hope in themselves. Those that are rich, those that are increased, they are not happy with that decree of God. Those that will deny how deeply that they have fallen, and that they are still capable of a good choice, to choose the truth, to choose to love God, then we are not happy that the Lord chooses. But congregation, when we come to learn what our choice is, when we come to see what our will is, what is our will? Our will is only to choose what is evil. That our will never choose what is spiritually good. Then we understand that the only hope of that people is that the Lord would begin from His side. And that the Lord would look down on me, who only chooses the evil, whose will is so corrupt, and that He can never make that good and right choice. Then my only hope is that the Lord will choose me. Was that ever your only hope? Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean, because I cannot make myself clean. The antinomian, he allows himself to live a life of sin. He says he may
sin against the commandments of the Lord. Why? Everything in the decree of God, he says, that is going to take place anyway. Also, sin is going to take place anyway. And it is true that sin that is also part of that secret decree of God. But now these make that secret decree their cloak. Their cloak for what? Their cloak for a wicked lifestyle. To say the Lord, he is going to forgive all the sins of his church. And therefore we may do amiss. That is all decreed anyway. An abuse of the precious doctrine of predestination. Certainly, that will of God will come to pass. But we are accountable for what? For his commandments. Already in the time of Paul, then he says that there were those that said, let us do evil, that good may come. What does Paul say? Whose damnation is just. The Lord has also decreed something else. The Lord has also decreed the means by which he is going to bring his church in unto himself. By which he is going to gather his church. And those means man is called to use unto his salvation. That is his holy law. And when the Lord gives his church to seek and a desire to live according to that holy law, then the Lord is using that law to do what? To uncover the fountain of sin that is lying within. And to make that dear Son of God, that blessed mediator, precious and necessary and suitable in their eyes. Let us sing. Psalter 391. Stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391. And without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven, without murmuring, willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Murmuring, that is to complain under our breath. And that we are doing it, yes, but imperceptibly to others in our heart. We actually do not agree. And really, that is no obedience at all. Because then our heart that is not in it. No, then we still hold our own will. And then our own will that is actually above the will of the Lord. And when we pray, thy will be done, then this is what we ask the Lord to change. Is it ever our grief that our will that is not the same as the Lord's will? That we have a desire that it may be different. When our fathers speak here, then they are not speaking only about spiritual life, but we can read they also speak about natural life. They speak about our station and calling, thus our calling. What is that occupation that we are in this world? Often it is not today the way that it was in the past. Then it was, young people, very difficult. Much more difficult than today. Why? Because when your father was a farmer, then you were a farmer. And when your father was a carpenter, then you were a carpenter, whether you liked it or not. And then to submit, that is not so easy. And today, then we have it much easier, because then you have an opportunity to be educated. And you have some opportunity to make some choice, that you say in your occupation you do that which fits your character, you do that thing which you enjoy doing. Do you ask young people help also in this? From your parents who are there to guide you, but especially from the Lord. There are many occupations which we may not choose in this world because they are contrary to the Word of God, to His commandments. There are some that are not so in and of themselves, but they are made so because of restrictions, because Sunday work must be involved, or some other way. Unethical practices that we would have to be joined in. There are also some occupations which are simply very vain and very carnal, and that we ought not to involve ourselves in. Thus, our calling to submit. But also our station. What is our station? That is the particular place that a person is given in their life, in their calling, the particular place that he is called to live, the particular position that he is called to occupy, that has also so many things to guide it in the providences of the Lord. Place you are born, who your relatives are, what your financial state is in this life. We know that there are some that are never content. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, and they are moving from this to that and to that, because they can never submit themselves unto the will of the Lord. On the other hand, sometimes by the circumstances, then there comes a change in our station, and we are called to follow. In all this, to ask, Lord, thy will be done. Grant me to renounce my own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. And that is not only in our station and calling, but in all the ways of providence that come over each of us in our life. Are we given health? Are we given sickness? Or then to say, Lord, thy will be done. Are we given a spouse? Are we given no spouse? Are we given children? Are we given no children? Are we given riches? Are we given poverty? Are we given a high position? Are we given a low position? Are we given an office in the church or no? Or in all these things, to be able to bow ourselves and to say, Lord, thy will be done. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. How is it, congregation? Do we say that the Lord's will, that is only good, that you understand that is special grace? What a blessed place that Eli may come to, especially in the difficulties and the trials of his life, that he may say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. For a Job to say, when everything is taken away from him, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a people who may receive a little rest. Parents, we need to teach our children to renounce their own will. And to submit to what? To submit to your will. Because you stand as a parent actually in the place of God. When does this begin? This begins in their infancy. Let us not go along with the ideas of this world that say we need to let our children grow up in freedom and they need to be unrestrained so that they may develop and so that they may grow. No, the will of our children is corrupt. The will of our children needs to be restrained. It needs to be renounced. And our children must learn when they are young to renounce their own will, that they may also be given by the grace of God when they are older to renounce their own will before the Lord himself. Then we must bring them up in the way that they should go, not in the way that they would go, which is only evil. And when they come to the years of discretion, then we know that our children, they need to begin to make their own decisions. Not against our will. No. But that we are guiding them in making such decisions. Young people, do you know what the will of the Lord is? The will of the Lord is to give you your father and mother. Or may you now ever renounce your will and to submit to their will. No higher, to submit to His will, who gave you your father and your mother? People of the Lord, oh, what a will was in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He saw what was before Him, and when His human nature was like our human nature, and that suffering, and that death that was before Him, and still it was His will to go forward. That was for all His church. Oh, how ashamed must that church then be when they see that their will, that is so little inclined to follow after the will of the Lord. What did the Lord have to say of His people? He had to say they are a stiff-necked people. They have their own will. What did the Lord Jesus say? My meat is to do the will of my Father. That was His food. That was His drink. That was that whereby He was nourished. He says, and to finish His work. And now that it may be so, also in the life, and not only the outward life, but also in the heart of His church. And He has taught them to pray this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O that Thy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that our will may be renounced, and that we may love Thy will, that we may see that it is the only good. O Lord, forgive our many sins, our rebellion. Deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Bring us safely home, and with desire in Thy house again in this afternoon hour. Remember our brother elder, who will go to the other part of our congregation to serve in their midst in this day. Strengthen him therefore. Be among them also with Thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 236 stanzas 1 through 4. By all whom Thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified. There is none great beside. Matchless, Thy works abide, for Thou art God. 1 through 4 of Psalter 236.
Oh,
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.